From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and President Obama has signed that three-month extension of transportation funding just in the nick of time, but did chide lawmakers for passing short-term measures. So mark your calendars. We'll be talking about highway funding again in about 3 months.
But right now, we want to get to that terrible poaching incident in Africa. Not Cecil the Lion, whose death in that illegal hunt caused outrage, but the slaughter of five elephants in a protected park in Kenya on Monday night. Poachers left the mother and her four calves to die after cutting off their tusks. Other elephants then wrapped their trunks around the carcasses to mourn, as elephants do. But conservationists in Kenya are asking, why isn't there more outrage from humans? Now, there are those saying this week that there is too much concern about animals, but why do we care as much as we do? Temple Grandin is a professor of animal science at Colorado State University. You've heard her here before. She has autism and a special understanding of animals, and now consults with the livestock industry on how to treat livestock more compassionately. Temple, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
What is your thinking? Why has there been such reaction to Cecil the Lion?
Well, Cecil had a name, for one thing. This was a lion that everybody knew. But this dentist was really terrible. I mean, this guy had a history of game violations, trying to kill a lion with an arrow. That's totally cruel.
Mm. You've been very open about your own autism, which often is an inability to feel certain emotions.
Well, the thing that's helped me understand animals is I don't think in words. I think in pictures. And the first thing you've got to do to understand animals, get away from words. Now, where there's a similarity with autism is in the cognition, not in the emotion. The emotion that animals have would be similar to people, but the cognition's different because it's sensory-based. You know, all the memories are going to be smell whiffs. They're going to be sound. They're going to be visual pictures because they don't have words.
Well, it's so interesting because you say, as someone with autism, you react to pictures, not words. Thousands of words have been spoken about poaching and illegal hunting, but it seems like one picture of this majestic creature is what got to people even without autism.
That's right. A picture is worth a thousand words. Get away from words. It's sensory. I've discussed that in my book, Animals in Translation.
Now, you mentioned that Cecil had a name. You know, we understand that that does do something. It personalizes the animal, and that there's something in our brains, in the amygdala, that is wired to be compassionate to animals.
Well, definitely. In fact, I read an interesting neuroscience paper on an epilepsy patient, and when they do a brain surgery on epileptics, they have to do it fully conscious to make sure they don't take out the important part when they take out the seizure part. And they had electrodes down the man's amygdala, which is the emotion center, and they showed him pictures of animals, both cute and scary, pictures of famous people, and pictures of landmarks. And the animal pictures, either cute or scary, set off the amygdala much more than the pictures of people or the pictures of famous places. Hmm. I thought that was really interesting. It shows that we have a connection to animals.
Well, and Robert Siegel, NPR's Robert Siegel, spoke to some scientists a couple years back, and they pointed out that early on in man's history, you had to be very aware of animals and discern which one was cute and which one was going to eat you. Otherwise, you wouldn't survive.
Well, that's absolutely right.
Well, and so back to this lion, Ernest Small, who's a PhD within the Canadian government. He specializes in biodiversity. He's published several papers on why humans favor some animals over others. And he says one of the universally admired physical characteristics is size. It's called charismatic megafauna, animals that are generally maybe even larger than a man, that there's something, maybe, I don't know, you tell us, because you are something of an animal whisperer, that you can almost look in their eyes and see our own humanity.
Animals know individuals. There's some new research right now that shows that the cows can recognize the voice of another cow individually. Sisters and moms graze together. A lot of ranchers have found that when they work cattle, they'll put the ear tags in that have sequential numbers. And then the next year when they run the cattle through the chute, they're coming in the same order of the ear tags they put in last year.
Hmm. So are you saying that maybe one of the things we're recognizing when we look at a Cecil the Lion is that we're maybe honoring them as a species as valuable as our own?
Well, lions are really majestic. I mean, ever since I was a young child, they've been called the king of the jungle. Well, also people are interested in Cecil's family. I mean, Cecil, even though he's an older lion, you know, had a pride of his own. And another thing that upsets a lot of people, because there's a very nasty thing about lion behavior, is when the head of the pride leaves and a new lion takes over, it kills all the babies from the previous pride. You have to stop the demand for animal parts. I think it's really important to get those trades cut off.
Well, Huffington Post mentions two places where people can funnel their outrage right now, Panthera and the Save-O Trust. Both of them work towards just that goal. Temple Grandin, again, professor of animal science at Colorado State University. Thanks so much.
Well, it was great to be here. Thank you very much.